Cool. Okay, so I just want to say thank you, everybody, for making it here today on quite a miserable day. I know we had a few cancellations from people coming from further afield because of snow, so it's great that you've all got here. I'm just going to say a little bit about what to expect tonight and then hand over to our two speakers. We're just going to be talking here for about 15 minutes, and then we're going to kind of open up some rooms for you to explore and find out more about the findings from the project so far, and also, most importantly, get some of your kind of feedback on what you think is most exciting. It's great to see you all, and I would first like to hand over to Alex Ingvarsson. Alex is the EMEA lead for jobs and skills at JP Morgan Global Philanthropy, as well as leading their philanthropic work in Spain, Italy, and Poland, with a focus on inclusive economies and improving access to economic opportunities. So Alex, if I could invite you up here, and I think Alex will be speaking a little bit more about kind of JP Morgan's interest in this topic and their work in skills and jobs more broadly. So thank you.
Thanks so much, Shoshana. Thank you so much, the team at BIT, for all the wonderful work you've done on this report and for gathering and hosting us all here today. We're really looking forward to hearing all the insights that you've gleaned through this project, particularly all the insights from women with lived experiences, employers, policymakers that have contributed to these findings. I'm also so delighted to see that so many of you are here today with us in the room. Thank you so much for being involved, for bringing all your valuable and unique insights to this project. Diversity and inclusion are cornerstones of our culture at JP Morgan, and we believe in a truly inclusive workplace where everyone counts and everyone participates. If we're to grow and to thrive, it's critical that we evolve with the changing needs of our customers and the diversity of the communities we serve. We support the advancement of women at all stages of their career by providing inclusive culture, growth opportunities, leadership training, and family-friendly policies. Through our philanthropic programming, we're committed to support more vulnerable and underserved communities access opportunities within the ever-evolving economy. This includes promoting pathways into and progression within employment, a core factor in providing social mobility and a stable income. As part of this commitment, last year, we supported thousands of low-income and middle-income women in 17 countries across the EMEA region, helping them to advance their career, start or grow their small business, or improve their financial health. Some examples of our philanthropic work across the region includes our program with ADI in France, a nonprofit organization that provides access to microcredit and technical assistance to more than 16,000 micro-entrepreneurs annually. Together, our hope is to remove barriers to women entrepreneurship and increase the number of socioeconomically disadvantaged women that have access to the right resources and financing. Here in the UK, and very aligned to some of the discussions we'll have today, we work with both the Early Years Foundation and Time Wise, who I think are with us in the room today. We'll hear more from you, I'm sure. Both working to address the various barriers faced by largely female childcare workforce by broadening access to opportunities and test innovative solutions addressing the systemic challenges to progression in the sector. Alongside our funding support, we leverage the skills of our employees to further support female-led businesses through our Founders Forward Mentoring Program, matching female entrepreneurs with a JP Morgan Chase mentor to help them in the development of their business. We know that barriers to women's progressions in the workplace are far-reaching and difficult to address, and I'm sure the BIT will share more details shortly. From our philanthropic work, we see and we hear the trends relating to the cost and time linked to caring responsibilities, lack of flexibility and predictability of well-paid roles, recruitment processes, and stereotyping. But there are also things that we don't know. So it's great to come together here today to hear about these findings and the innovative ways in which we can address these barriers. We hope that this project and today's discussions will help to identify more opportunities to support low-income women access routes to progression and better pay, and is well-placed to shed light on potential for investment, innovation, and scale. So once again, thank you to the BIT. Thank you to all for coming here today. And I look forward to the discussion. Thanks.
Great. Thank you so much, Alex, and of course to JP Morgan for kind of funding this whole project and this work. Next, I would like to introduce Ava Myers. Ava is the Joint Director of Economic Policy at BIT alongside Nida Broughton, who I believe is also in the room somewhere. There she is. Ava's work covers our work in kind of recruitment, the workforce, equality, diversity, inclusion, energy and sustainability, as well as broader financial and consumer behaviours. Ava's going to speak a little bit more about the stages of the project and some of our main findings before we kind of get more interactive with all of you. So over to Ava.
Well, good evening and thank you for joining us today. It's really a pleasure to be here to launch the report, which is a collaboration between the Behavioural Insights team and JP Morgan Chase. The report concludes the first phase of our research program on improving progression opportunities for women in low-paid and low-skilled work, and I'm excited to share our findings with you tonight. This is a crucial topic touching the lives of many women across the world and even more relevant during the ongoing cost of living crisis. Globally, women are more likely to work in low-paid and low-skilled work than men. In the UK, research shows that women make up 60% of workers on low hourly pay, rising to 77% when looking at those on low weekly pay. This has a significant impact on the national gender pay gap, reducing women's economic power and pushing them into greater financial insecurity. So if we want to make progress on closing the gender pay gap, we need to improve progression opportunities for women in low paid and low skilled work in particular. This first phase of work focused on the barriers to progression. While a lot of the findings we'll talk about today are based on our work in the UK, a one-year research program spanned four countries, the UK, France, Spain, South Africa, and France. Across these countries, the team drew insights from a diverse range of sources, including interviews with 15 experts across academia, policy, and the public service, surveys with around 6,000 low-paid workers, in-depth interviews with 24 low-paid women, four workshops attended by 44 organizations, including employers, charities, and research organizations. Now, on to the findings. First, I just want to say that we appreciate that progression is a very subjective term. We wanted to understand from women themselves how they define progression at work, recognizing that roles that might conventionally be considered as promotional can often be less secure, less safe, or incompatible with childcare or indeed other caring responsibilities. Indeed, in surveys and interviews, women told us that they valued a more secure contract more than an increase in pay. We then sought to identify the barriers to progression. While existing studies tend to focus on one barrier at a time, an important contribution of our research has been the identification, prioritization of a whole multitude of barriers. For example, we were surprised to find that long or expensive commutes posed the greatest barrier to the low-paid women we surveyed. We know that women may favor roles with a smaller commute over higher-paying roles in order to be closer to home to carry out caring responsibilities. But we didn't realize this was considered a truly binding factor in accepting a job with better pay. Another often overlooked challenge for low-paid workers is predictability, as was already mentioned before. A shockingly high proportion of low-paid workers have very little notice of their working hours. The Living Wage Foundation, who I believe are here this evening, found that 50% of workers earning below the real living wage are given less than a week's notice of their shifts. That unpredictability was the second highest barrier to progression we identified in the surveys. You may have already noticed a pattern emerge here. Cutting across all of the barriers that we identified is the fact that women are disproportionately responsible for unpaid care work. In the UK, women carry 60% more unpaid work than men on average. One woman we interviewed, speaking about motherhood, working in low-paid jobs, and managing the household, said that balancing it all can get to me sometimes. Well, I'm not surprised. Women therefore often need to have access to flexible working patterns to accommodate caring responsibilities. However, women who make use of them often face a part-time penalty in terms of pay and progression. This is especially the case for women in low-paid work who are less likely to be able to afford childcare and live in greater financial insecurity. It also puts them at greater risk of exploitative and suboptimal working patterns. Turning to possible solutions then, let me take a moment here to express my true gratitude to all of the employers, charities, and researchers who worked with us to help identify possible options. The next session will go into more detail on these, but I want to briefly highlight innovations that help reduce the mental load that comes with low pay and an unpredictable set of hours in particular. Such solutions free up the capacity to think about one's career aspirations and wider plans, among other things. A good example of such a solution is giving women greater agency over shift patterns, enabling, for example, shift swapping among workers. Tailoring the frequency of salary payments to individual needs and preferences can also greatly alleviate stress. Further work is clearly needed to support women's progression, which in turn is imperative for gender equality and the health and productivity of our economy. It is an issue that we here at BIT are extremely passionate about and would love to talk to you and potentially partner with you to further test and implement solutions. Thank you very much and enjoy the rest of your evening.